Welcome to the Lanesboro Radio Company's presentation of Over the Back Fence, a Commonwealth Theatre Company community program brought to you from the air-conditioned Commonwealth Theatre in beautiful downtown Lanesboro. We're coming to you live over KFIL Preston 1060 AM and Chatfield 103.1 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Scott Dixon. Have you ever been over the Lanesboro Falls in a barrel? Feeling like the last stand at the Alamo? Well, pull up a seat by the campfire because it's the Over the Back Fence salute to American folklore. Telling a whale of a tale tonight will be special musical guest Dave Wilson, plus a preview of Commonwealth Theater's production of The Turn of the Screw, and music and laughs from all the Over the Back Fence gang. The usual suspects are here, Bonnie Hulsing, Carolyn Freeze, Steph Dickens, and all the Over the Back Fence gang. And will you please welcome my co-host with the most token, Dave Damon Prestaman. Over the Back Fence is underwritten by Houston Dental Clinic, where your smile makes them happiest, and sponsored by Pedal Pushers Cafe,
Coffee Street Fitness,
The Cottage House Inn,
Rhino's Pizza and Sub Shop,
Los Gables,
Stone Mill Suite,
Olivia's Attic,
Lanesboro Local Marketplace,
Mannion and Wheelock Attorneys,
The Little River General Store,
Riverside on the Root Restaurant,
The Lanesboro Lions Club,
Preston Apple and Berry Farm,
The Rochester Post Bulletin,
and Associated Bank of Lanesboro! Bringing tonight's show to you is the Over the Back Fence Gang executive producer, Captain Bob Petrillo.
Assistant executive producer, glamorous Glenn Jensen.
His personal assistant, marvelous Maddie Haugen.
Artistic director, stellar Stella Burt. Accompanist, hearty Heidi Dibbing. Internet guru, jazzy Jason Underfed.
Radio show protege, clever Claire Keening. Tim Seiler and Davy Crockett at the box office. The American folklore story. What comes to your mind when you think of American folklore? Those good old stories of yore.
Well, you know, it's always fun to be able to lie to your friends and family. You know, and American folklore allows you the opportunity to do that.
That's true. Did you have someone that you were able to as a youth? Because you're of course an upstanding member of society now. But as a youth, did you have, you know, sort of an imaginary person you could pin things on?
Well, sure. You know, that was always the case, wasn't it? Wasn't it for you?
You know, it was for me. You know, every now and again, of course, when I couldn't pass it off on my little brother.
Ah, very good. Because you don't need an imaginary friend when you've got a little brother.
When you've got a little brother, exactly. You're all good. Heidi, what about you? Did you ever did you have an imaginary friend or a someone that you could sneak out of trouble with?
I could blame it on the neighborhood kids.
Oh, and the neighborhood kids. There we go. Oh,
there were some very rowdy families in our neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. You grew up in a rough part of town, did you?
Oh, very rough part of Lanesboro in Brooklyn, up against the woods. Very rough.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Right there on the edge of the frontier.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with the American Folklore Show, we want to bring the Over the Back Fence gang. And of course, round here up on the Northwoods, you know, we tend to think of that great lumberjack, Paul Bunyan. And so here's the Over the Back Fence gang.
America was a great big land with a great big job to be done. A job that needed a great big man. Paul Bunyan was the one.
Hey, Paul! Paul Bunyan! He's 63 axe handles high with his feet on the ground and his head in the sky. Hey, Paul! Paul Bunyan!
Double blade axe and his bob-nailed boots, he goes where the timber is tall. When there's work to do, don't mess around, just sing right out for Paul.
Hey, Paul! Paul Bunyan! He's 63 axe handles high, with his feet on the ground and his head in the sky. Hey, Paul!
The Over the Back Fence Gang. Singing about Paul Bunyan. Babe the Blue Ox didn't make it into that song, apparently.
No, we should get a reprise of that.
We do.
Rewrite it.
We'll look up the copyright on that song and file an request with the appropriate authorities. And while we're doing that, Here at Over the Back Fence, we always enjoy taking an opportunity to talk with some of the wonderful folks who help to make all of this crazy fun possible week after week through the summer months for what is now into our 16th season, 16 summers of presenting this. And we have Anne from the Little River General Store. Anne, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
And I want to start by thanking you and thanking Jean and Kirsten for all of their support for Over the Back Fence from the Little River General Store. Our neighbors kind of just a stone's throw from here. If you can get that stone to kind of go down Parkway and make a left on Coffee Street and then another right about halfway down.
True.
Which, you know, I understand, you know, some folks of the Twins can make it do that, but I can't. Anyway, so Anne, how's business going this summer?
Busy, very busy.
Busy, which you gotta love.
Yes, we do. Lots of tubing, lots of canoeing, kayaking, bicycling. The weather's perfect for it.
So at the Little River General Store, folks can come in and they can either purchase or they can also rent all of the equipment they would need to get on the river, get on the bike paths around town.
Yes. Right now we mostly do rentals, but starting the end of August, they'll start selling equipment because we get new every year.
Right.
And they have some really good bicycle deals.
So good deals. So if you're looking to kind of, like I was earlier this year, looking to, you know, had a bike kind of sitting in my shed that, you know, was really kind of had its day, so to speak. And so I went down and was able to pick up a new bike just before the start of the season. And I've been biking more on the trails this summer than I have for a long time. That's been a lot of fun. So those are on sale coming up, and that's going to be, and you said that's sort of end of this month into, you know, first part of September, so folks want to keep their eyes out.
We don't release them till after Labor Day. After that, we want to get them out of there.
Get them out. You're motivated sellers, so something to check out. And is that just the bicycles, or do you also sell the canoes and kayaks as well?
Canoes and kayaks are for sale as well.
Okay, so you can really kind of stock up then.
Yep.
On all of your outdoor equipment, and besides that equipment as well, you also have all of the different accoutrements that go with. The bicycles, and the good seats, the toe clips for the pedals, and do you have the little ringy bell things that go on?
Oh yeah. We have little horns too.
You have the horns?
We have the horns. The adults like the horns.
Some days you need them on the trail to be able to get through the traffic there. Do you have streamers to go on the bikes there?
Yeah, we do.
You do, actually.
Yeah.
And playing cards to put in the spokes?
We got playing cards, too.
Playing cards, too. So you can be, it's a full-service outfitter, then.
It is.
That you have. And where we're talking about, you're located, just down Coffee Street, right in the middle, Coffee Street, right next to the bank.
Right across from the bar.
Right across from the bar, so great. You know, if it's the middle of the afternoon and you don't want to get into your car, you could then, you know, rent a bike.
Like
that old Ray Bradbury story, drunk and in charge of a bicycle. Wonderful story from when he was going across Ireland. Anyway, that was an interesting little segue there. But what are the business hours for the Little River General Store?
We're open Sunday through Friday, 9 to 6. Mm-hmm. Saturday, we're open 8 to 9.
8 to 9.
8 in the morning to 9 at night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, good. I would hate to have just a one-hour window to be able to go in. Makes the returns a little tough, you know, if you've been going down the trail. Knocking on the door, hello, I'd like to return my tube. Wonderful. And how long into the season are you open? I mean, we're coming to the end of summer, but, you know, as long as the good weather holds, folks will still be coming into town, maybe not so much to get on the river, but still want to hit the bike trails and check out the foliage as it starts to turn.
He tries to stay open until at least mid-November.
Mid-November, great. Yeah. As long as there's traffic coming, you'll be there. The Little River General Store will be there to give people what they need.
We try.
All right, wonderful. Well, Anne, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us, and extend our thanks back to the Mensing for everything that they do for us, and best wishes for the rest of their season.
And thank you for having us.
All right, Anne, thank you very much from the Little River General Store. All right. Well, Damon, let's see if we can fire up the beacon for it. See if we can get one more week out of this news beacon before we have to order a new one here.
The beacon is not working all that well lately. It's, I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's some problems with the beacon.
It's been having a rough time here.
Yeah,
so.
In fact, I'm not sure that I can get it fired up right now. I got to do a little bit of work on the beacon.
You got to do a little bit of work on the right now. You have to do a little work on the beacon.
The beacon's not working right now, so I got to go and get the substitute beacon.
The substitute beacon.
Right. There is a substitute beacon. We've been having problems with the regular beacon.
Uh-huh.
So what we've done is we've brought in an extra one just in case something exactly like this happens where we need the substitute beacon.
All right. Well, let's fire up the substitute beacon then.
Okay. Now that one's not working good either.
Apparently not. The substitute needs a substitute, I think. Well, anyway, it's News and Notes brought to you from the Rochester Post-Bulletin, the biggest and best daily newspaper in southeastern Minnesota. If you check out this week, here are some of the headlines you'll be able to read about. Of course, as some of you may know, I've been making headlines, the salmonella outbreak in some Iowa farms. Some issues with the eggs that they have down there have been tied to as many as 1,300 cases of salmonella poisoning. So if you've purchased eggs recently, definitely want to check out that story. You can go to thepostbulletin.com, find out more information about exactly how to find out. Make sure that the eggs in your fridge are absolutely safe. They've been working to try to trace the source back to the outbreak, but the FDA reports the investigation could take months, and sources of contamination are often difficult to find. Mm. So we'll just have to stay tuned with that. That's a serious note. On a little bit lighter note, in Orinoco, you know, it's not very often that a Los Angeles film crew is spotted in southeastern Minnesota.
That's true.
But that'll be the case this week coming up in Orinoco. 400 vendors are making their home there for the Gold Rush days. And BB Entertainment is going to be there. They're working on a new series for the History Channel called Antique Show Life on the Road. And they're going to be visiting there, checking out, doing some footage there. The Gold Rush Days brings in vendors and shoppers from all over. For antique markets, if there are antiquers in the audience, this is considered one of the top 12 antique markets in the whole country.
Wow.
At Orinoco Gold Rush Days. And then Rushford Peterson, kind of just down the bike trail, which you can get there thanks to your bikes or your tubes or your canoes from the Little River General Store.
Sure.
But they've had a team of their senior high school students finish third in an international high school environmental education competition.
Wow.
Participants received a day's training to look at a variety of different environmental challenges. Then they had to complete a written test and make an oral presentation addressing collaborative efforts to meet those environmental issues. The team placed third, and the seniors on the team each won $3,000 college scholarship.
Wow.
So congratulations to them. That's an awesome, awesome achievement. Heck of a lot of work. And now, so that's News and Notes brought to you from the Rochester Post-Bulletin, and we're going to turn the microphone and the stage over now to our special youth musical guest. Will you please welcome Miss Jane Bungie? Our special youth musical guest, Jane Bungie, on Over the Back Fence. And we always like to take a minute or two to talk with our youth musical guests. So, hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And, Jane, what was the title of that piece that you were just playing?
The Dragon Hunt.
The Dragon Hunt? Does that mean that there might be dragons around here?
No.
No, okay. Shoo, okay. Everybody in the studio audience, please relax. Please get back in your seats. Jane has assured us that there are no dragons in the area. That sounded really great, Jane. How long have you been playing the piano?
This will be my fifth year.
Fifth year. And you take lessons, I presume, or is it all self-taught?
Lessons.
You take lessons. And who do you take lessons from?
Tammy Christensen.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like taking piano lessons from Tammy Christensen? With 10 being, oh, that's awesome.
8.
An 8. Okay. That's good. I would take that as an honest answer. If it was, 10, I'd be a little suspicious. But no, that's great. And Jane, what grade are you going into this fall?
5th.
5th grade. And where do you go to school?
Lanesboro.
Here in Lanesboro. All right. Wonderful. Well, Jane, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your talent with us. Jane Bungie, everyone. And now would you please welcome our special musical guest this week, Dave Wilson. Dave Wilson on Over the Back Fence. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
How's it been going in the past year since we had you on?
Well, you got a lot of things happening. We've been playing around. I got some guys together in a band, and We've been doing a few gigs. I've been doing a few farmer's market gigs, actually, too.
Oh, farmer's market. Those are a little dangerous, because if they don't like you, there's a lot of ammunition right
fresh
there. Right,
tomatoes. Right, yes, that's right.
That's pretty gutsy then.
Plus, they want to pay you in vegetables.
I'm lycopene tolerant.
So you've been playing around different farmers markets, and we have been down at the Riverside on the route here in Lanesboro, right, earlier this summer?
That's right. I was there on Memorial Day weekend. As a matter of fact, that tune I just sang was about the Dirty Martini Lounge, actually.
Yeah, the Dirty Martini Lounge up at the Riverside on the route there. Although, as I understand, it is sort of a piece of American folklore. The perfect Dirty Martini is an elusive creature. In order to be spotted, but
that is what I hear. Yes.
Great. And so you play farmers markets, you play Riverside on the route. Are you available for hire?
I am. Yeah, you can call me. You can get a hold of me on www.myspace/davewilson.com. Email me there, and I'll be glad to host or come play any show you'd like.
Wonderful.
I write my own music, so I do mostly all of that. Few covers.
Oh, great. So the copyright issue is not a huge thing. We don't have to pay extra for, unless we want to hear Stairway to Heaven or, you know, something like that.
That's right. Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit before the show, not a CD right now, but something in the works maybe coming up?
That's right. Yes, I have a few, actually quite a few new tunes that I've been wanting to get on recording, and kind of getting down to business a little bit with that. Winter works out better for that. There's a little more time.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, so, you know, some of the farmer market venues tend to slow down a little bit in the winter months. There's a little little less traffic. Plus, the squash hurts a lot more when it gets when it gets thrown at the entertainment.
Yeah, so I watch out for them then.
All right, wonderful. So people should definitely keep an eye on your website for news about that and upcoming events. But for right now, in terms of immediate gratification, do you have some more music for us?
Well, I do. It's folklore night, and I've got a little tune I wrote about the pumpkin ride over in Preston. It's a bike trail. They have it on Halloween every year, so I'm going to play it for you here. All together and the night is young. It's Halloween, won't you ride along? On down the trail, a pure delight. Never howling in the wind on a mystic night. Well, the goblins and ghouls all come as strangers, dressed up baggers, are wizards and rangers. Down by the shelter where the bonfires hide, there's a howling in the wind on the sky tonight. Sky tonight. Y'all come on back. See your friends where the pumpkin ride begins. I'm down by Eisenhower's bridge. Well, there's Zeke, thanks for letting everybody stop on by whenever they wanna. It's good to see your neighbors and friends, you know it feels just like a class reunion. Class reunion. Y'all come on back, see your friends where the pumpkin I'm down by Eisenhower's bridge. Come on back. See your friends where the pumpkin rot begins. I'm down by Eisenhower's bridge. Oh. hit it. This is Willie and Bonnie and Clyde. Oh, in the bar, you ain't gonna hide. You ain't gonna hide. Y'all come on back. See your friends where the pumpkin rot begins. On down by Eisenhower's Bridge. Come on. Thank you.
You're listening to Dave Wilson on Over the Back Fence. Dave, you got one more for us?
I do.
Got one more studio audience? You want to hear one more?
Yeah. Oh, hey, thank you. Thank you. All right, this one's called Put the Past Away. I told the truth on the day I tried to get through to you. The truth. When you lay my heart on the floor, well, I'll show you. It isn't a display, 'cause it's so near, and I want to tell you, we can leave it all behind. Come on, let's put the past. Why go back to every time it's come undone? Don't you realize that we can leave it all behind? Come on, let's put the past away. I see something in your eyes. It ain't like good times. The old signs never want to die. Come on, let's put the past away. I see something in your eyes today. Like good times. The old times never want to die.
Dave Wilson!
Thank you.
Special musical guest, you are listening to Over the Back Fence live from the Commonwealth Theater in beautiful downtown Lanesboro on KFIL Preston, 1060 AM and Chatfield 103.1 FM. Coming up in the second half of our show, we'll feature poetry from Bonnie Hulsing. Plus, the Commonwealth Radio Theater of the Air brings you a preview of their upcoming production of The Turn of the Screw. Over the Back Fence is underwritten by Houston Dental Clinic, where your smile makes them happiest, and sponsored by Pedal Pushers Cafe,
Coffee Street Fitness,
The Cottage House Inn,
Rhino's Pizza and Sub Shop,
Los Gables,
Stone Mill Suite,
Olivia's Attic,
Lanesboro Local Marketplace,
Mannion and Wheelock Attorneys,
The Little River General Store,
Riverside on the Route Restaurant,
The Lanesboro Lions Club,
Preston Apple and Berry Farm,
The Rochester Post Bulletin,
and Associated Bank Lanesboro! We invite you to come down and join us live Sundays at 7, or if you can't, listen at home at 1060 on your AM or 103.1 on your FM radio dial, or online at overthebackfence.org. Yes, you can tune in to not only tonight's show, but shows from the past. Speaking of American folklore from the folklorian tradition of Over the Back Fence.
I love where you went with that. That was pretty
Did
good.
Did you like that?
That was impressive.
I might need a little Ben Gay or something after that. Was kind of a stretch, but the muscles might be a little sore in the morning, but we're doing okay. But, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show, you know, talking about folklore and traditions and things to do, and some traditions get a little harder to keep up with once you start to get... Well, a little older, as you and I have started
true.
To.
Like walking more than about two blocks.
Yes, suddenly takes a lot more out of you. Last summer, you know, Stella and I were up at the State Fair. Took a time up going to the Great Minnesota get together, which was an awful lot of fun. But after a day of walking around, you could definitely feel it the next day.
That's right. When you're younger, you don't feel those things.
No, you can just go out and do those things. Heidi, you don't know what we're talking about.
I have no clue. I'm not aging one bit.
Yeah, no, not at all, not at all. Well, you know, and. Speaking of, you know, well, not aging, frankly, and other whoppers that we love to tell each other, and we have the Over the Back Fence guys presenting, a whale of a tale.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads, a whale of a tale or two. About the flapping fish and the girls I loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Mermaid Minnie, met her down in Madagascar. She would kiss me any time that I would ask her. Then one evening, her flame of love burned out. Blow me down and pick me up, she swapped me for a trout. Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads, a whale of a tale or two. About flapping fish and the girls I love, and nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Typhoon Tessie, met her on the coast of Java. When we kissed, I bubbled up like molten lava. Then she gave me the scare of my young life. Blow me down and pick me up, she was the captain's wife. Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads, a whale of a tale or two. About the flapping fish and the girls I loved, and nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Harpoon Hannah, had a look that spelled out danger. My heart quivered when she whispered, "Hi there, stranger." Bought her trinkets that sailors can't afford. And when I spent my last red cent, she tossed me overboard. Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads, a whale of a tale or two, about the flapping fish and the girls I love on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo.
The Over the Back Fence Gang, Glenn Jensen, Tim Seiler, Joel Hulsing, telling us a whale of a tale. And I imagine that we have some more tales to share with our poet laureate for the week on Over the Back Fence, Bonnie Hulsing, everybody.
Well, what's more American than baseball? And this poem is called Casey at the Bat. It's by Ernest Lawrence Thayer. And this was first published in the newspaper, the San Francisco Examiner, on June 3rd, 1888. So it's been around a long time. The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2 with but one inning more to play. And then when Cooney died at first and Barrows did the same, a pall-like silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to the hope which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought, if only Casey could get a whack at that, we'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, and did also Jimmy Blake. And the former was a hoodoo, while the latter was a cake. So upon that stricken multitude, grim melancholy sat. For there seemed but little chance of Casey getting to the bat. But Flynn left drive a single, to the wonderment of all, and Blake, the much despised, tore the cover off the ball. For there seemed but, but when the dust had lifted and men saw what had occurred, there was Jimmy safe at second and Flynn a huggin' third. Then from 5,000 throats and more, there rose a lusty yell. It rumbled through the valley, it rattled in the dell. It pounded on the mountain and recoiled upon the flat, for Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing, and a smile lit Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. No stranger in the crowd could doubt that Casey was at bat. 10,000 eyes were upon him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt. Then while the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance glazed in Casey's eye, a sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching in it, haughty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. That ain't my style, said Casey. Strike one, the umpire said. From the benches, black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of the storm waves on a stern and distant shore. Kill him! Kill the umpire! Shouted someone from the stand. And it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher, and once more the dun sphere flew. But Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said, Strike two! Fraud! Cried the mad in thousands, and echo answered, Fraud! But one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. Then his face grew stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain, and they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The sneer had fled from Casey's lip. The teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go, and now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing and little children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
Bonnie Hosing, Casey Jones at the bat. Or Casey at the bat. Casey, yes, Casey Jones was the train conductor.
Yeah, engineer.
Engineer. Yeah. Casey, yes. Lots of Caseys in American folklore. Must be something about that name. Anyway, very, very American. Nothing's more American than Casey. Anyway, all right. We let the Over the Back Fence gang come up on stage to tell us about another folklore hero figure from American folklore. I'm not sure if it's Carol Burnett's brother or not, but it's the saga of Andy Burnett. Take it away, the Over the Back Fence gang.
The times are gone that he once knew, the endless woods and the skies so blue, the trails no man had trod before, the wilderness at the cabin door, the urge to know where the rivers flow, the freedom to up and pack and go. Lucky for us, a few men yet remember the saga of Andy Burnett. Andy's on the move, Andy won't rest. Andy Burnett, he's a traveling west. Andy's on the move, Andy won't rest. Andy Burnett, he's a traveling west. He made no fuss and meant no harm, but no Burnett could abide a farm unless the land was his alone. He'd rather be just a rolling stone. So he set out for St. Louis town, the river to ride the long way down, hoping to find along the way a place he could settle in where he could stay. Andy's on the move, Andy won't rest. Andy Burnett, he's a traveling west. Andy's on the move, Andy won't rest. Andy Burnett, he's a traveling west. He won some friends and made his place with mighty men of a mighty race. They took him in to teach him more of mountain life and mountain lore, the laws of trails and trapping streams, the danger is not what danger seems, lessons to learn and not forget, all part of the saga of Andy Burnett.
Andy's on the move, Andy won't rest. Andy Burnett, he's a traveling west. Andy's on the move, Andy won't rest. Andy Burnett, he's a traveling west.
The Over the Back Fence gang with the saga of Andy Burnett.
I was able to confirm that was not Carol Burnett's brother.
It was not, yes, Carol Burnett's brother. You were able to look that up while they were singing the song?
That's right. I was researching it for the entire time.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm pleased. See, this is why you're here. But
I was thanking the one person that laughed.
You
at
got
that.
The one laugh, yeah. on the show. So far between you and me, it's 1-0 now is how that works out. So that's all right. I still have a little bit to go in the show yet. But kind of switching gears, you know, sometimes American stories of American folklore, you know, talk about great heroic deeds and talk about, you know, settling the frontier and conquering the West and whatnot. But there's also a great piece of not just American American folklore, but folklore for a lot of countries, a lot of stories, but have to do with ghost stories, and or stories about things that go bump in the night, as Robbie Burns would say. And the Commonweal Theater has a production coming up this fall, which we're going to give you a little sneak peek of, to begin with, of what is considered perhaps the scariest ghost story ever written.
Really?
It's been called this. It's Henry James wrote a novella in 1897 called The Turn of the Screw. And it's the story of a young governess, young impressionable woman who takes a job going out to a country estate in Essex in England, northeast of London there, country estate, to take care of two children. And while she's there, she begins to suspect that she may not be alone out there prowling around the estate, that there may be something else lurking in the shadows, and that there may be some strange connection between these ghosts that she's starting to think may be out there and the children that she's taking care of. So to bring you a little preview of this show tonight, we want to welcome to the microphone and to the stage Adrian Sweeney from the Commonweal Theater. And Adrian is playing the role of the governess. And what's very exciting in this production that we've been working on, adapted by Minnesota playwright Jeffrey Hatcher, and what Mr. Hatcher has done is he has taken the story and he's put it on stage with the notion for only two actors to tell the entire story. Adrian plays the governess of the story, as I had mentioned, and on stage this fall, I will be playing all of the other parts in the play, which is a great deal for me because it means that I make about four or five times my usual salary for doing that, because I get paid per part. So the invisible characters, I haven't negotiated that one yet, but the ones that have lines anyway, I know I'm getting paid for. And anyway, we want to present a little bit of a scene for you now. It's about halfway through the story, and the governess is having a conversation, a little picnic out at the lake with the two kids that she's taking care of. Miles and Flora are the names of the two children, and little Flora kind of goes off by herself, but she's going to have a talk with young Master Miles, who's been sent home early from school, so to speak, in order to come home. And so now we present The Turn of the Screw. Day 4, The Governess at the Lake.
At a picnic by the pond this afternoon, I plan to question Miles about things past and present. Flora runs off after a black and red butterfly that hovers over the old rowboat moored at the edge of our small sea. I inhale deeply to gather my courage and turn to see Miles standing over me.
Do you think me bad?
Bad?
You seemed upset last night. Do you think my playing bad?
Oh, no, Miles. I adored your playing. I had a headache, is all, from the strain of reading. In fact, I am today still having trouble with my eyes. Would you care to read to me, Miles? I'd like to hear your voice wrapped around my book. What do you say?
I don't like to say, miss.
Are you troubled, Miles?
No, not really.
Would you like to play?
I'm too old to play.
Oh.
I like a real thing.
So do I.
I like to spin.
Oh, and that's not playing.
I spin for real. Would you like to see?
I would.
I'm not in the spinning mood.
You're a tease, Miles.
I have been told that.
Where? At school? You know, girls aren't sent off to school. My father taught me at home. He only let me read the Bible. But I'd sneak in other books, poems, romances. I had to read fast, though, because if he found out I was deceiving him, he'd take the books before I could finish. Sometimes I'd have to read the last page first, just to find out how the story ended, in case my book was torn to bits or burnt. Mine was not a happy education, Miles. Were you very happy at your school?
Oh, I'm happy enough anywhere.
You know, I can teach you quite a lot, Miles. I can teach you the stars and the planets, the seven seas and the five senses.
Oh, I already know the five senses. Sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. I know the seven seas, the eight planets, the geography of Eden, and where little babies come from. What can you teach me?
Well, I'm sure I'll think of something.
Well, it doesn't matter. Your Flora's tutor, not mine.
Well, Flora is far better behaved than you are. Flora would read to me if I asked.
If she could speak.
Miles.
And I would speak if I could read. It's a disease. My eyes don't see the words in the right order. They go all round.
But if you can't read, then how did you learn to play the piano so beautifully?
Different. One can learn by listening and by touching.
Well, then, if you can't read to me, I shall tell you stories. But you'll have to trust the teller.
I trust you.
Do you?
Well, my uncle does, so we all must. Would you like to see my uncle come down, miss?
Why, I want whatever your uncle wishes.
Oh, he would come down if you wanted. You could write him.
I don't think I shall, Miles.
Well, then, what would make him come down? We should think about that. Do you like riddles?
Why, yes, I do.
We like riddles, too. Let's play a game of riddles.
Oh, I'm not very clever.
Oh, that's all right. You start. You're the governess.
Oh, well, then here's one. What most resembles half a red apple?
The other half.
Quite right. How very smart of you, Miles.
Well, thank you, miss. Do another.
Very well. Why does the ocean get so angry?
Because it's so often crossed.
Quite right.
Well, thank you, miss. Do another. No, this is fun.
What was the longest day of Adam's life?
The one on which there was no Eve.
When is a woman duplicated?
When she's beside herself.
What's the best way to keep someone's love?
Don't return it.
Do you know any riddles, Miles?
32 dancers on a red hill. Now they dance, now they prance, now they stand still. What am I?
Teeth!
Quite right.
Do another.
When is it a good thing to lose your temper?
When you have a bad one, another.
One can possess me without seeing me. One can carry me without feeling me. One can give me without having me. Give up? A cuckold's horns.
Miles, who taught you a riddle
like
that?
I am unusual. I have no body and no soul. One cannot see me, but one can hear me. Only a living being can give me life. I die at the moment I am born. What am I?
A ghost?
A ghost? No, silly, music.
Oh,
one last one. What's twice as frightening as a ghost? Give up. Two ghosts.
It is then that I see her. We had been speaking long enough not to notice what little Flora was doing. Flora, my diminutive Ophelia, starting to move into the water through the reeds. On the tiny island in the middle of our sea, we have an interested spectator in black and red beckoning to...
Flora.
What does Flora see?
Flora.
Could it be a woman in black, hair of red, pale as death? Does she wear a locket?
Flora.
Could Flora see it?
Flora.
Would she cry out,
Flora?
Flora turns from the direction of the apparition, her wet petticoats in a white cloud swirl behind her. She stares at me as if trying to decide which way to go. And then Miles raises his hand, and Flora comes back towards us through the reeds. When I have them both hurrying back towards the house, I turn around. Miss Jessel was still there. The children safe in bed, I tell Mrs. Gross.
Miss Jessel?
Mrs. Gross does not believe me. I describe Miss Jessel.
Oh, Jessel.
Mrs. Gross believes me.
And the children?
Well, they didn't say a word, of course. But
you think they saw her?
I cannot say.
Oh, is there any evidence they glimpsed her fall?
Well, I'm sure I'm mistaken. But while Flora moved off into the water, I could swear Miles tried to distract me.
Oh, but why would he want to do that?
What children want is a mystery. We must learn what these horrors are after. I think I'll stay up a bit longer this evening.
Stay up alone?
I'd have difficulty sleeping anyway. I'll be fine. I'll have my cup of tea, a candle, and the good book to keep me safe.
Yes, miss. As you wish, miss. Adrian Sweeney and Scott Dixon in Turn of the Screw, coming this October from the Commonweal Theater Company. Ooh, spooky ghost stories here on stage at the Commonweal. Well, you know, when you think about, again, folklore and the great heroes of American folklore, you know, the Paul Bunyan and well, not so much Casey at the Bat because he struck out when you're all done there. But
Davy Crockett,
Daniel Boone, Johnny Appleseed going across the country, and then of course the mightiest, the strongest, the a figure in American folklore with one of the most distinctive speech impediments, you think of Popeye the Sailor Man.
Absolutely.
And Stellar Bird, we have lyrics for this for our studio audience, so please feel free to join in, and it's the Over the Back Fence Gang. Take it away. Folklore on Over the Back Fence. We want to extend another special thanks to our musical guest, Dave Wilson. Our special youth musical guest, Jane Bungie. Poet Laureate Bonnie Olsing on Over the Back Fence. The Commonweal Radio Theater of the Air, starring Adrian Sweeney and Scott Dixon. Our technical crew, executive producer Captain Bob Petrillo, his assistant, glamorous Glenn Jensen, his assistant, marvelous Maddie Haugen, internet guru Jazzy Jason Underfirth, our musical accompanist, Hardy Heidi Dibbing, artistic director Stellar Burt, my co-host, Token Damon Prestaman,
and the host of Over the Back Fence, Scott Dixon.
Join us next week for our Apple Show.
He's Popeye the Sailor Man. He's strong to the finish, 'cause he eats his spinach. He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
Once more for the Over the Back Fence Gang.